Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We live in a world of data, from your grocery list to your most important pictures, and you need to back it all up so you don't lose it. With us to discuss some tips and tricks for keeping your information safe, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. I have a feeling we don't do this as often as we should. Tell us how to get started.
Yeah, sure. Morning, Bob. You're absolutely right. And from what I've seen, this kind of falls into the grouping of, I can let this go another day. Now, you can, but I don't think you want to.
The thought of losing something really important should be the push we all need. Let's start with automating your backups.
Yeah, sure. Automation is our friend. If there's a way for something to be done for you, I would check it out first and don't fight it. You want to use built-in backup features or third-party software to schedule regular backups. Set it once, let it run automatically in the background, check the backup settings periodically, make sure they're still active and they're running smoothly, and if you encounter any issues, seek assistance from a tech-savvy friend or a family member. You know, they can help too. And you want to consider using backup software that offers encryption, which only gives you added security, especially when you're talking about sensitive files. It ensures that even if your data is accessed by someone who should not be accessing it, it remains protected.
And we talk about updating software here frequently, and a lot of that happens overnight while we sleep, or it should, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a perfect example. The setup to do that might take a few minutes, but afterwards, it should be pretty seamless.
Talk about using cloud storage.
Yeah, sure. So if you store important files and photos in the cloud, you could use services, for example, like Google Drive or iCloud or Dropbox, and it ensures that your data is safe even if your device is lost or damaged. When you're using a cloud storage, you want to always enable that two-factor authentication. It protects your data from being unauthorized access, and again, that's when you get a text message or something that lets you, you know, open up your account. You want to explore different storage providers to find the one that best fits your needs in terms of space and cost and whether it's easy to use. Many providers offer free plans with limited storage. That's important, and that can be a good starting point.
Are there still people who don't trust the cloud? What do you say to them?
I say that I get it. I mean, that's still a thing, yes. No service is 100% foolproof, that's for sure. But if you approach it as this is an extra layer of duplication, an extra way to make sure you keep your files, I think you quickly realize the benefits are there.
Talking with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg, let's get to storing your data on an external hard drive, Scott. This is more old school than the cloud, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Bob. And investing in an external hard drive and using it to regularly back up your entire computer, that's a great way to avoid unexpected issues. You got to keep that hard drive in a safe place when you're not using it. You want to opt for one that's simple, plug and play. You know, you want to avoid complex steps to go through to back it up. It should be simple. And you want to choose a brand known for reliability to ensure your data is safe. So in this case, you don't want to go for the $10 one. Go for the better one. And when selecting one of these hard drives, you want to look for shock-resistant features because you want to protect your data from physical damage. And also, look at the warranty because you want to make sure that they're last, you know, for a while.
And so you're talking about the iCloud, the cloud, you're not concerned with damage, no moving parts there. But the external drive, Isn't that prone to damage?
Yeah, they do have moving parts. They can break. But I will say this, technology has changed. So now I think they're a little bit more durable. Memory now is flash memory, which is different than what we had years ago.
And what about the USB thumb drives? You can put them on your keychain. Are they still worthwhile, in your opinion?
I think so. I think especially for smaller files or documents because they're portable and they're easy to share, but you want one that has a lot of storage space.
If you have an external drive and the cloud, do you need a thumb drive?
I think they serve different purposes. I mean, I'm unlikely to carry an external drive around with me, but I might attach a USB drive to my keychain. So, and I think the cloud, I think that's totally separate. But for USB thumb drives, I wouldn't recommend making it your single backup source. I would pair that with a larger hard drive or with a cloud service.
And how do you keep everything organized? I mean, we have certain areas of our house with boxes of hard drives piling up.
I mean, and that happens, and yes, I've seen it firsthand. I would say the best thing to do, label and organize to keep track of what's backed up where. And when you change your computer or change your device, when you buy a new one, I would use that as your opportunity to change the drive. In other words, don't back up files from two different machines on one drive. It's not that you can't, but that's an easy way to lose track of things.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Got anything else on your tip list?
I would say my only other one is really verify your backup. You want to check them every so often to make sure they're working, to make sure nothing has happened to the files that you're using as your main backup.
Because files can become corrupt, right?
That's exactly why. And the thing about a corrupt file is it's almost always the same. And everybody knows this, right? It just stops working for whatever reason. And you sit there and you rack your brain and you're trying to figure out what in the world happened. Technology is fickle and things happen. And that's not very comforting, I know. But that's why you have to stay on top of those types of things to make sure your data is safe.
Sounds like another argument for the cloud.
Yeah. The cloud is a lot like one of those, you know, those old infomercials where you set it and forget it. I mean, not that you can afford to put it completely out of mind, but there's this greater expectation that when you back up files to the cloud, that they'll be there when you need them, as long as you continue, of course, to make the monthly payments or however you choose to handle subscribing to that service. At the end of the day, I think everyone's needs are always going to be a little bit different. And luckily, in this case, there's more than one way to approach backing things up.
All right, that brings us to our Genius Bar question, and it's about search engines like Google and the incognito mode. Is that really private?
It is misleading, to say the least. It is not as private as people make it out to be, and that's the problem. When you use a service like that, whether you call it private browsing, that's what they call it on Safari, or incognito mode on Google Chrome, it basically says that others who use your device being your computer, your phone, won't see your activity, so you can browse more privately. But it doesn't change how data is collected by the websites you visit and the services you use. So that means that your downloads, your bookmarks, things you add to your reading list, those items are saved. And somebody on the back end, if somebody went to Google and said, hey, can you see what this person was surfing? Yes, they can. And I think there's this feeling of, you know, total safety by using this mode. And that's not really what it's designed for.
We had a ton of feedback on our chat last week, Scott, about phishing, and let me just share one message we got. I can't report phishing on my iPhone, only the computer. Can you ask Mr. Kleinberg about this? Scott?
Yeah, they make it a little bit harder to report those things on a phone. You can, on the phone, you can go under and force it to say request desktop website. Sometimes in the settings, sometimes that will give you the opportunity to do it. But yeah, a lot of places make you do it on your actual computer. Not the most convenient thing in the world, but not necessarily the worst thing, because you always want to make sure that you do record those things. But yeah, that is a thing.
Digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and you earned your genius label this week. Thank you very much, Scott. Talk to you
Thank
next
you,
Tuesday.
Bob.